Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. And Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me, and we are discussing dieting. One of the challenges many Black people face is an unbalanced diet, meaning low intake of dietary products, fruits and vegetables, and a high intake of processed food products among low-income urban African-American households. It's reflected by inadequate intake of fiber, vitamin A and C, and calcium, and an excessive amount of saturated fats and trans fats and added sugar. And Justin, what would you like to add?
I mean, like when we're talking about dieting, I mean, I want, first off, I want the, you know, the listeners, the callers to know that, you know, we're talking about not just dieting, you know, to lose weight, but, you know, we're also talking about, you know, for like the health reasons as well. One of the things that a lot of people, we know, but we ignore, is the global pandemic that is going on right now. And I'm not talking about COVID, right? It's obesity, right? And all of the major countries in the world, all of the developed countries in the world, all of them, they see an increase growing in the rate of obesity, which also leads to systemic problems such as diabetes, cancer, heart failure, kidney failure, lung failure, and the list goes on, right, just by being obese. The United States has, you know, led the world in the rate of obesity, especially during the 80s and 90s and 2000s. You know, it was a huge epidemic that bust out in the United States, and where we got, you know, the documentary Supersize Me to talk about how unhealthy McDonald's was. And they even had TV shows and et cetera talking about specific food. And I think this is a very, very important topic, you know, and I'm very curious to hear what our callers have to say as well, you know, because what we're talking about is what we're putting inside of our body for fuel. What we're talking about is what we put inside of our body for sustenance. You know, you are what you eat is what one person is what the old saying says, right? For me, I know I don't eat pork. I don't eat the swine. I had pork before. It's absolutely delicious. Bacon is excellent. At the same time, you know, there's a lot of health risk, you know, but funny thing is, you know, on this keto, I just started the keto diet, and my goal, you know, for starting this keto diet is to get in shape, one, to get healthier, two, is to get in shape, three, is to lose weight. You know, lose weight got to be at the bottom, because really the number on the scale doesn't matter. Well, I want to make sure that I'm healthy to be able to take care of my family and to be able to play with my kids as they continue to grow, and to my future kids as they continue to come in, right? So, you know, that's something that I you know, have started to do. I want to get one of our callers on. I see we have 5073. Question that I have for the call before we get you on here. I know you probably have, you know, a comment or a question that you want to throw out yourself, but question that I have for you, 5073. Have you ever been on a diet? And if so, why did you start the diet, and what diet was it, and how successful was that diet?
Okay, I'll answer that first, and then I'll comment. Okay, I went on the cabbage soup diet.
Cabbage what?
Food for 7 days, and what they do is, and basically, you're probably losing water. I lost from 10 to about 14 pounds that week, but those are crash diets. What I want to say is it'll work if you're looking for something instantly, but the whole key to getting your body in shape is not dieting. It's learning how to eat and what is a serving. My husband has diabetes, and they told me he needed to eat right. They didn't say he had to go on a diet. So I looked everything up, and plus I used to teach nutrition when I lived in Pennsylvania. And what it is, if people would learn what a serving is and stop helping their plate by platefuls, they overeat even at one time. When you learn what a serving is, no more than tops of 3/4 cup of anything. And I used to lose weight by eating right. Not that I always eat right now, but I don't eat like I used to. I would go to a smorgasbord, and I would eat everything there. But I was not putting, I would get it by the tablespoons. I'd get a couple of tablespoons of this, a couple of tablespoons of that. And when you don't deny yourself of what you really like, you can lose weight. A lot of people can't lose weight because they go on diets and that's not what they want to eat. You can eat anything in the world long as you eat it in moderation and not overeat that certain thing. Because my husband lost 17 pounds the first month that I put him on what I did. I would fix his breakfast and leave it for him. And I gave him the things that he should be eating. And there are certain times of the day that you should eat certain things. And plus, there's
I just want to interrupt you real quick. And wanted just to make a quick comment and for all the listeners. Look how wonderful of a wife she is. Y'all hear that? Hey, keep preaching. You know, some of these women need to listen. So, you know, what you're sitting here talking about, you know, you making your husband breakfast and leaving it for him. That is, my fiance, she does a great job of making me breakfast and dinner and lunch. But in general, I'm typically, I am the cook at the house too. She cooks a lot as well. But like in general, when you look at, you know, the masses of people, you know, a lot of women don't cook nowadays. A lot of times, you know, the men have to fend for themselves. And for you to think about your husband's needs and to cater to that, I think that is very commendable. And I just wanted to throw that out.
Let me finish what you were saying.
Go ahead.
Okay. I did that. I always have fixed my husband's plate. That was my first mistake. I've been doing it for 30-some years now. But anyway.
Preach.
Because it was for his health, but I also stopped after about a year. You know why? Because that was his health problem, not mine. I will help you as long as you help yourself. I wasn't going to continue to do that every day of his life because if he feels like he wants to live, he has to take an action for himself. So it wasn't enough that I would lay it out. Sometimes he'd want me to do it right while I was there. And I told him, you know, you need to get a life too. I got one. I take care of my health, and your health should be his responsibility, not mine. Now, I want these listeners to think
I'm just doing all of this.
And I do it. I fix this dinner when I come in and give it to him. But some of the stuff they have to, as far as their health and their diet, he has to learn how to eat for himself. I told him, if you want to live, you would take up some of this responsibility because I'm not going to keep you alive if you don't want to be alive. That's on him.
Mm-hmm.
But that learn a diet, it shouldn't be called diet. People should learn how to eat. If you learn how to eat, you will never have to go on a diet. Because you'll stop eating. Like most people get a plate of spaghetti. All they need is 3/4 cups. That's a serving. That's as much as the body should have at one time. And if you look at the food groups, if they divide their plate in the portions that it's say to be healthy and eat whatever they want to eat, they still can lose weight and maintain a normal, healthy weight. And some things you have to cut out is like a lot of salt, because salt holds water. Salt runs up your blood pressure, because that's what runs up your blood pressure, is that water in the body. And you have to look at the health reasons on why you should eat a certain way. And a lot of people, and the sweets is not good for you, not even as a diabetic or any person if you're not a diabetic. A lot of sugar, white flour, which is most of it, and the certain kinds of cooking oil you should not do, because if you read up on it, it'll tell you what it's doing to your body. Like right now, mm-hmm. I'm maintaining what I got, and I'm going to lose some, because if you would go on a vegetable diet, you would feel better. When you eat only vegetables, you feel a whole lot better than you do with meat. It takes a month for whatever serving you ate of meat to get out of your system, and that's a long time. And you have to look at the foods you're eating. If you eat just vegetables and beans and things like that and brown rice and use brown flour and certain things, you will not be obese if you go up to the amount of serving. I feel a whole lot better when I have a vegetable plate for dinner. I have green beans. I have collard greens. I have pinto beans, and I splurge and get the cornbread, but I still feel better because I didn't eat any meat. And you have more energy eating vegetables than you ever will with that protein meat. You can get protein from beans. And a lot of people think they have to have, plus what they call breakfast food. You don't have to eat what they designate as breakfast food. You can eat anything any time of the day you want to. And they say it's best that you eat everything before 8 o'clock and at least walk some. I used to walk 30 minutes every day, and it helped me lose. I lost like about 17 pounds. And then you know how to maintain it after you lose it. And sometimes, you know, we do go back to our old ways, but if you keep up eating healthy, you won't be fat. And a lot of what you call obese people, they're eating for different reasons, not because they're hungry. They have stress and a lot of other things that they have to take care of to help them not eat. So I want to hear from somebody else.
No, I agree. You know, everything you said, you know, 100% agree. Me personally, I've been looking at the keto diet that I've been looking at trying to start. Today I drank a shake, and that's all I've had, and I've been drinking water. But I've been I want to get in shape for, like I said, one, for my honeymoon. But two, you know, I want to, you know, be around long for, you know, for my kids and to be able to play and have adventures, you know, with my kids.
But
and,
you can do that,
you know,
without keto. Keto, you pay for anything you have to pay for, you don't need, because it's
no,
like
you don't know. I didn't have to pay for anything.
I mean, you're doing the keto diet and following,
right.
And they have some shakes and they still sell this and they sell that. All you
need to do is do some juices,
the right kind, and make your own.
Also,
that's
have recipes you can cook on your own with your own food.
Right.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was telling her. I was like, I didn't say no. I made my shake myself. I went to the store, I bought my own fruits and veggies. I came home, put it in my blender, made my own shake, and I looked up what I put in there. You know, today the shake didn't taste really good, but one of the great things about it is it's a huge benefit, especially for the heart. I use some great cranberries. Grapefruit. I had some grapefruit in there, which does great for your heart, you know. And also it helps with, you know, with burning fat. So does the lemon.
But you have to be careful with grapefruits and grapefruit juices, because if you're on certain medication, it cancels out your medication.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not on any medication, so I'm not worried about that. So for me, you know, like I said, like I put some what was that green leaf? It's another green leaf. I mean, one of the things I found that was
kale.
Really fascinating.
Did you use kale?
I think I don't think it was kale, because they had the kale and spinach mixed together, and I was trying to find like a bag of just kale. So that way I can have like my just kale, my just spinach, and then this other green leaf is baby arugula, I believe it's
arugula. Is it arugula?
Arugula.
Yeah,
there you go. You know, that it has just so many that this right here has just so many, you know, nutrients in it that is good for the body. Like if you just Google it, like one of the things that I enjoy doing now when I go shopping is especially when I'm looking at making different shakes, is going into the produce aisle and just looking at different fruits and looking up, you know, the pros and cons of them. And you'll start to, I mean, you'll see, one, there's so many pros and very little cons, you know, but you'll get excited about what you're eating. You know, you'll get excited about what you're putting in your body, you know.
Do you use beets?
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand what you said. I'm sorry.
I say, do you ever eat beets? B-S-N-Boy-E-E-T-S.
Yeah. I love my vegetables. I don't mind eating beets. There is most vegetables I don't mind eating. My biggest issue has always been the fruit. Fruit messes me up. But for some strange reason, when I blend it up and put it in a shake, I don't have that effect on my body. You know, like if I eat an apple, I'll be out of commission for a week. You know, my head will be pounding, my throat will be scratchy. Like, you know, I have headaches, migraines. You know, the last time I ate an apple, you know, but I can cut an apple up, put it in the blender, blend it up, and add it to my shake, and have no side effects. So, honestly, like for me, I'm a pretty healthy eater in a fact of I don't eat a lot of sweets. I'm not a very sweet tooth person. I don't eat a lot of junk food. I don't really eat candy in general. I do have those occasions where I have my sweet tooth, right? But I just want to piggyback a little bit of something what the caller said when she was talking about dieting. One of the big things that they're pushing, especially in a keto diet, is that you can make that a lifestyle. You know, some people go on diets because they have plans. You know, like, hey, I want to lose some weight for my wedding. That's the one purpose I want to lose the weight for. Afterwards, I don't care. A diet might not be that bad of an idea. But if you're talking about trying to be healthier, you know, then you're talking about a lifestyle change. You know, it's one thing, you know, to cut out all the sugars and high carbohydrates, you know, for a year, for 6 months, for a month, you know, to get a figure that you're looking for. That's another thing to say, hey, I'm not eating that anymore. That's a lifestyle change, you know. And it's not even saying that you can't eat certain things, you know. One of the things that the previous caller really brought out was moderation. Everything's good in moderation. You know, everything is bad when you're gluttonous. You know, it's like making sure you had a proper size. Like, you can go and eat and have a variety of different foods, you know, as long as you're eating in moderation, 100%. You know, I totally agree with that statement, you know, that she made. And I think she made some very fascinating and 100% on-target points. And one of the things as black people that – we got to make sure that we are aware of. We can't get brainwashed. You know, one of the things I saw as I was looking up this keto diet, and it was talking about the obese pandemic that is affecting the world, was that the countries that it wasn't affecting, you know, that wasn't on a high rise. I'm not going to say it wasn't affected, but a country that it wasn't on a high rise was a lot of African countries, you know. And a lot of people, you know, first thought process or thought on that might be, well, they're all starving. No, they're not. You know, those are just some of the images that they want to blast on TV to, you know, degrade Africa. You know, are there people in Africa that need foods and money and medicine? Absolutely. You know, but that's not all of Africa. You know, and one of the things I saw on there is their diet in general. Like, we got to realize we're not from this country. You know, our culture.
But most
as far
of the things
habits,
they say on TV about those kids starving to death, they're lying. That's made for TV.
Yeah,
they find kids
people,
that look like that, and in order to get money and people's sympathy, that's what they're doing.
100%. And I'm not saying
if
you know
we
some
would,
countries don't eat help. The help
but
that they need,
a lot
though.
Of, like they don't eat a lot of white potatoes over there either, which are very fattening for us. And we don't understand that the sweet potato is the best potato for health reasons.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. That's the only whole thing I'm getting to is getting back to our roots. You know, in Africa, you got to realize, you know, white people come from the north. You know, they come from Europe. They had to plow land and work, you know, for they had to go, you know, go and work the land. They had to go and harvest the food. And they had, you know, what, 4 or 5 months to get everything done to feed their families for the next year, for the whole year. You know, in Africa, you know, low-hanging fruit was low-hanging fruit. You know, we had food year-round. We really didn't worry about where the food came from, like if we were going to eat the next day. We didn't have to worry about too much of, like, going without harvest. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, Africa's never seen a drought. I'm not saying Africa's always had an abundance of food and they have never had hard times fall upon them. But it wasn't like, you know, like the culture, like the weather and condition in Africa is so much different from Europe that it made it easier for us. And we got to realize most of our ancestors, like, we wasn't eating a lot of meat. We was eating a lot of fruits. We was eating a lot of vegetables. Our diet was very plant-based. You know, nowadays, we're eating potato chips, Snickers bars, and candies as snacks. Then we was eating more like pears and mangoes and things of that nature for a snack, for a sweet craving. You know, that sugar cane? That sugar cane that we had, you know, that they had the slaves making, that was to fuel the European empire, you know. We adopted a lot of that into our culture, you know, through the slave, through the effects of slavery. And so, like, we got to do a lot of, you know, undoing of that. 1-2-3-3, want to get you hot on the air. Do you have a question, comment, or something of substance you want to bring to the table?
Hi, yes. I mean, you guys kind of started talking about it a little bit. The diet, I think African-Americans have a poor diet in general, especially in the, well, I'm referring to the United States. I mean, black people, we're at higher risk for, like, heart disease, stroke, cancer, all these different things. And I feel like black people a lot of times don't watch their diet in general. I know we always say, like, white people don't season their food. Although, like, sometimes we use too much seasoning in our food. That's not healthy.
And,
so these things have a different...
A lot of that comes back from slavery because of what foods that the slaves were forced to eat, like the worst, the parts that other people didn't want to eat, like...
Like chitlins.
They started eating chitlins and the guts and whatever they had to do to survive.
Yeah, so, like, black people need to learn to get out of those habits because
that
they're not
true.
Healthy habits. I mean, you know, that's up to the individual if they want to not have those bad habits. I mean,
totally,
you know.
I totally agree. And habits were passed down also, because that's how we got them.
Yeah, I think they're passed down. And also, a lot of things are passed down genetically through the things that we eat. Sometimes kids are born with diseases, and people are like, how did this happen? But, I mean, if you think about it, a mother might take drugs, and then, you know, the baby has the drugs in her system. You know, we're eating things, and that's, the baby is getting the things that we're eating also. So that affects the health of the baby, too. So, like, we are passing other things down to our children genetically also. So we're passing down a lot of bad habits more than what we think we are.
100%. Like I said at the beginning, you know, we are what we eat. I guess, have you ever been on a diet yourself?
I tried a diet before. It was basically eating, like, organic things, and I had, like, cut out sugar. This only lasted, like, a month. But I definitely lost weight, and my skin cleared up. I could feel the difference and tell the difference. I mean, I ate more fruits and vegetables also. But a lot of it, I just wasn't eating a lot of junk, and I kind of switched to things that were organic, and I mean, I could tell a difference by changing my diet.
And I guess when you went on that diet, was that more for like weight loss, or I guess what was the motivation behind it?
I don't know if I was having chest pain. I really don't remember, but I thought I was dying. So I changed my diet. I mean, it's solved. I don't remember the exact issue I was having, but I mean, it stopped whatever the issue was. This was years ago. I really don't remember. But I just looked at a problem like I didn't want to go to a doctor. I don't even remember. It wasn't nothing major, but it was something weird. I don't know. I even remember. But I was like, I'm not going to the doctor. I watch a lot of holistic people, and I believe, I mean, I like doctors and everything, but I don't want to put something in my body that I don't have to. I'd rather take the natural route first. And then if it's more serious than that, I can move on from that. But I'd rather keep things that are made of nature in my body, especially I don't want to take any medications long term. I'd rather just keep the natural route.
And I guess, why don't you want to, you know, take any type of medications?
I'm not against taking medication. There's just other side effects to medication that sometimes we don't know about. And so I'd rather take something natural, like herbs or something, over the medication if that's possible.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of us got to realize, you know, like these medicines that the doctors are giving us, we can find those same stuff inside the foods. You know, like people want to talk about like, oh, I don't get enough vitamin D or vitamin C or whatever it is. You know, well, you can get that through your diet. What are you eating? You know, like,
okay.
And that's why, like, it's more of a lifestyle change. When you commit to it, you know, like a diet is pretty much that you're going to borrow someone else's lifestyle to get a particular goal reached, right? Where when you have a lifestyle change where you're like, no, this is what I'm going to do forever. Like if you say you want to go become vegan or if you want to become vegetarian or if you want to stop eating red meat or you, I mean, like that's more of a health, you know, like, not only is that going to have that short-term effect, you know, if it's, you know, for a look that you want, but also the long-term effect, you know, to, you know, keep your heart healthy, to keep your lungs healthy, to, you know, keep you moving and around your loved ones longer. And it's very important. You know, it's extremely important for us to, you know, watch what we eat. I guess 1, 2, 3, 3, I guess what is one of your favorite healthiest foods?
I'd have to say strawberries. But I know strawberries nowadays, a lot of them have a lot of pesticides and chemicals in them. So that's another thing. It's really hard to find good fruits and vegetables that don't have all those chemicals in them. But I do want to make another comment when we're talking about the diet, especially the American diet. For example, milk and dairy products. Like, we are given milk when we are in school. I know I worked at the child care center, and milk was one of the things that they had to serve children. And for, like, government grants or whatever it is that they get, it was based off the milk. Like, they didn't get the funding unless the kid was served milk. Like, whether they drunk it or not, it didn't matter, but milk had to be served with their meal for them to claim that credit. And, like, we're told to drink milk, but there's a lot of risk of drinking milk. Like, milk contributes to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, like, and different cancers. So milk really is not healthy like we think it is. And then they're forcing it on us. Because when you're a child, like, you're given milk in school. So, I mean, you kind of, as a individual, you have to do your own research on what's healthy and what's not, just because the government and the FDA approve things. Hell, they, like I said, we're forced, milk is forced upon us, so you can't just trust everything because the government says it's okay. And I believe, like, the whole milk thing, that's forced upon us. I mean, I still use milk to this day. I mean, this is recent findings for me, but people point out that we're not cows. And, I mean, that's a good point. Look at cows. Like, why are we drinking milk? I mean, it really doesn't make sense.
Breast milk is totally different from cow's milk.
Cow's milk? I think it has to do with money.
Exactly.
Farmers, they want to sell that milk. They want to make money. So they push, you should drink money. It has to do with marketing, advertising.
Yeah, that's a good
one. They push milk, and make everybody drink milk. All schools, they make money. They can sell it to the schools.
I believe they're making money. And then they're going to make money later because it's going to cause health risk.
That's where the pharmaceuticals come in.
So not only are they going to get milk because everybody's thinking we need milk, and then as soon as the baby turns one, oh, you need cow's milk, you're already creating health problems.
Right. It's a business.
But there's
just like going to the doctor.
I mean,
it's a business. They don't want to cure you. Because they wouldn't make any money if people got well. That's how you keep them. They keep people like that in business. They're just like drug dealers. They want you to come back. They want you to live with what you got as long as you can, give you medications, and it's the cycle.
Well, if anybody need any medicine, they can come to me. I got drawer full of it. Because all I do is go to the doctor, whatever they prescribe, I don't take. And I don't have to pay for it. So they not getting nothing from me. I just take
even
their medicine.
Even if you're not paying for it, somebody else is paying for it. Even if it's your
I'm not dying, and what they can give me going to cure me, I'll go on home because I'm not taking the medicine no way.
I mean, it's being paid for whether it's coming out of your pocket or not. The insurance
coming out of my pocket. That's what I'm saying. So
right.
They're not getting it from me.
They're not getting it from you, but they're getting it.
Because medicine that I get now, when I go to the pharmacist, I don't even have to pay for it. There's no charge. So I'm back. Whoever getting the money can have it because I'm not taking it.
Yeah, I think overall just people have to do their research, and I think black people need to do their research even more because we seem to be the group of people that are being more affected by these different diseases more than anybody else. and we're not even the majority of the population.
I mean, I feel like, you know, when you say research, I feel like it's more than research. We got to start putting it into action. You know, like I was talking to a person, you know, a while back about, you know, doing some type of research for like a test that a doctor recommended them, you know. And one of the things, you know, that person told me was just like, oh, I want to do this research and da-da-da-da, which I completely agree, you know, you should do your own research. But it was like, how much research do you really need to do? Are you going to become an expert into that one particular field? You know, if so, I mean, because like just piggyback off this previous call of what, you know, what she just said, you know, like we are targeted. They are trying to take us out. We need more of our people in a professional setting. We need more of our people, you know, not just doctors, but like, you know, who was brought up with the same mentality that we have, you know, where they're not, you know, brainwashed by the brutalizing empire of capitalism that we see. You know, we need people in it. We need doctors that's going to, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, doctors don't tell you this, doctors don't. Doctors do tell you a lot of that stuff. Now, whether we listen is a whole other conversation.
I never had doctors that told me a lot of anything.
Well, I mean, I've always heard the doctor tell us we should eat healthy. You know, now
what
I will say, that's what I was going to hit, that's what I was going to get to. I will say, when I was younger, you know, what they said was healthy then, probably isn't healthy now. You know, because we were supposed to have all this dairy, now they're like, oh, we shouldn't have that much dairy. We're supposed to have all that bread, now they're like, oh, actually bread is bad for you. You should cut out those carbs that they say you should have the most of. You know what I mean? So, and like, I mean, I never heard a doctor not tell people to eat fruits and vegetables. I've always heard doctors, you know, push that. But, like, you know, at the same time, you know, like, just piggybacking a little bit, like, I do believe that, you know, we need to be the doctors. You know,
I want to interrupt you real quick. So,
I know you do. Listen.
So I was always told, you know, fruits and vegetables are healthy. But what fruits and vegetables being healthy doesn't matter if I'm eating all other junk and a whole bunch of other junk. That's just canceling all that out. Like, that's not helping because I ate a serving of a vegetable. And so for me, oh, I ate a vegetable because I don't know anything. I'm just doing what the doctor said I should do. I should eat some fruits and vegetables. Okay, I took a bite of corn. I ate an orange. But in between that, I'm eating sugary snacks all day and unhealthy food, but I ate this fruit or vegetable. Like, they don't break it down for you and give you that much information just besides saying eat a fruit or vegetable.
I don't know what doctors you went to. I don't know what teachers you had. But, and me personally, I lived a life where, you know, I didn't go to the doctor often. The only time I ever went to the doctor is because I had to go to the doctor. You know, like, growing up for me, like, we didn't have normal, regular doctor check-ins or any of that type of stuff. So, for me, you know, doctors always told us, you know, sweets are bad for you. You know, they're good in moderation, but you should try to limit that. They always told me, you know, eat all your fruits and vegetables as much as you can. You know, that's where the health is. You know,
I mean, I was never told sugar was a drug either. Like,
in my health class, I didn't have a doctor say that sugar was a drug for a checkup or anything like that. But like in health class for me, we did talk about the addictive traits of sugar, caffeine, all those different things, especially when we're comparing it to drugs such as marijuana, tobacco, alcohol. Those were things that my education system talked about.
I mean, sugar, I always heard it was bad for your teeth, but, I mean, you're never really told in depth the linkage of, like, sugar to cancer or anything else. Like, I get where you're coming from. Like, you're taking – I was told this here or there, but, I mean, that can just be like anything else. They don't embed that in you, like, this is bad, and then they'll turn around and give you a sugary snack. So it's not like that really means anything to a child. If you're telling me, don't do this, but then we're having cake.
No, I agree. I mean,
you will not be able to stay home, brother.
What we need to do to...
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and chip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Zero.